tuned in to the Community Cats podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Welcome to the Community Cats podcast. I am your host, Stacey LeBaron. I've been involved helping homeless cats for over 20 years with the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society. The goal of this podcast is to expose you to amazing people who are improving the lives of cats. I hope these interviews will help you learn how you can turn your passion for cats into action. And today we're speaking with Kim Lengling. As a multi-published author, Kim shares her love of nature, animals, living with PTSD, and her mission of tossing nuggets of hope into the world through writing and her podcast. Kim is the lead author and coordinator of a collaborative three-book series titled When Grace Found Me and two standalone anthologies, When Hope Found Me, released in November of 2022, and Paw Prints on the Couch, an anthology sharing stories of rescue animals who they have enriched their human lives, released in August of 2023, which became a number one top new release on Amazon. In addition to writing, she hosts the podcast Let Fear Bounce, spotlighting people who make a difference in the world, whether by writing, film production, philanthropy, teaching, founding nonprofits, and more. You can regularly find Kim drinking copious amounts of coffee, chatting with the critters who reside in her realm, and taking long walks with her dog, Dexter. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, we're going to have coffee talk. I love coffee very, very much. So we're going to have like a coffee and cats thing. That's why I love cat cafes. They're like my favorite place. I love cat cafes because I get the coffee and I get the cats at the same time. And it's a beautiful thing.
Everything. Yeah, the best of both worlds. There you go.
Before we jump into our conversation today, I'd first like to know, how'd you become passionate about cats?
Yeah, when I was little, the very first pet that I had was a cat, and her name was Muffin. And as you're little, and we came home from daycare one day and she was no longer there, and we kept asking Mommy, and Mommy said she ran away. But then years and years later, Muffin apparently had gotten hit by a car. But it was traumatic for me, actually. I think I was five, and it was so traumatic. But that cat, little Muffin, I would carry her around all the time. And I think that she is what her little soul connected with mine so much that was the start of my love for all animals, and wanting to be an advocate. And I was one of those people that was saving everything, like, the bird with the crooked wing out in the yard. And I still do that decades later. So that's where it all began, was with a little tiny kitten named Muffin.
You say you chose to become an advocate. I mean, you're a writer. You are out there rescuing, but you decided to share your experiences or communicate your thoughts about animals through writing. The thought of writing a book to me almost makes me sick to my stomach because it's just not in my DNA. I can talk all day long on a podcast, but the thought of writing a book, and you've written several. Why did you decide to go that route?
I consider myself an accidental writer. I didn't regularly write or do anything like that. I wrote a speech that I had to give in front of a very large audience of veterans. And this was 800 plus people. I had never spoken in public before. I had never given a speech. I'd never written a speech. And it was a personal story about my grandfather, who was the last surviving World War I veteran at that time. So this was years ago. And after I gave the speech, the local newspaper approached me and asked me if I would consider writing a monthly column regarding veterans for the local paper. I said, oh my goodness, yeah, thank you so much, but I'm not a writer. And they said, well, who wrote your speech? And I said, well, I did. And they said, well, you're a writer. And I went, oh, I never saw myself as that. So it took someone seeing something in me that I never would have noticed. And that's kind of where it began, and I wrote that column for 14 years. So that's where great. It began, and just kind of morphed from there. I find it very cathartic to write. At times, it feels like you said you could talk all day long. I think I can too on certain topics, but there are certain days where, to me, writing is best for me. And writing is much better for me. I find it very cathartic, and my writing is from the heart. So a lot of times it's pretty raw and pretty real. And I think that's what draws people into it, because they see themselves in it.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, you mentioned veterans. So can you share a little bit about your experience working with veterans, and how and why did you get involved?
Sure. Well, I'm a veteran myself. I was in the Air Force in the 80s. I went in right after high school and I did Morse code, which was, I found out later that just actually about 10 years ago, they don't even use Morse code anymore, mostly. So some young gentleman in the Navy decided to tell me that and made me feel really old. Yeah, I was in the Air Force, and due to an experience that I had while serving, I do live with PTSD due to traumatic experience that I went through. And so my heart for helping veterans in need for over 25 years now, that's what I do in my spare time, especially female veterans who went through military sexual assault. That's where my heart lies. And so I like to be an advocate for those who sit in the darkness and they feel like they don't have the strength to look up to find that little pinprick of light, or they feel like they are completely alone, or no one's going to get them, no one's going to understand them. And I am the one to tell them, you're not alone. I do understand you, and there's always light. Please lift your eyes up, you know? So that's also kind of morphed into part of my nuggets of hope. So that's why I'm an advocate for veterans.
Well, that's beautiful. I mean, I'm sorry for the suffering, pain that you have felt, but it's wonderful that you have found a cause and passion to work towards. An organization that I ran, the Merrimack River Feline Rescue Society, which I introduced in the beginning, we actually offer free adoptions to any veterans. The adoption fee is waived. And I think several organizations do that. Talk a little bit about the benefits of pet ownership for veterans.
Oh my goodness. I just know the benefits for me. I currently have dogs. I've had dogs for the last several years, and they're all rescues. They bring something into your life. I think a lot of times when you're not even sure that you realize that you needed it, their unconditional love, which is just a given, you know, as long as they're treated right, as long as they're treated right, their unconditional love is a given. Their souls are so pure. They live for you. They live for you. They spend their entire time waiting for you. So if you work out of the house, they're waiting all day for you to come home. You leave for the store and you're gone for an hour. It feels like all day to them. You know, you take the garbage out for 2 seconds, they come. It's like all day to them. They spend their time waiting for you, and the excitement and the love that they give you, where else can you get that? I mean, sincerely get that all the time, every single day. And I also believe that just having that companionship, the dogs, at least for me, my dogs, they have become in tune with me, because I do live with PTSD. And with that comes anxiety and at times depression. And I was suffering with panic attacks for quite some time, and some of them could be pretty darn intense and frightening. And then there's my dog, but he got so in tune with me where he would start nudging me, and he's a big dog, but all my dogs have been big. He's a big dog. He'd come and nudge me with his head and then lean his entire body against me wherever I was at. And then I realized, oh, he was getting my attention and refocusing me. And when I realized that he was just doing that instinctively, I'm like, oh my goodness. So for me, it's just amazing. It's, you know, it's like love story, you know, with your animals. I know that's the case for many veterans and their companion animals that they have, whether it's a bird, cat, dog, horse, whatever. Animals bring pure love to you, pure unconditional love. And there's no judgment, no back talk, no nothing. They just want to love you. And oh my goodness, who doesn't need that every day?
And I think actually the first week of June is Hug Your Cat Day.
How awesome.
So fantastic. And, you know, I think about also many people who are out there feeding community cats. They drive up in their car, they get out, and all they do is they have to shake the little crunchies, and everybody comes running because they know the food is coming. And that's another example of unconditional love, right? And this connection. And they know, you know, every day at this time, you're going to be here to feed. And so there's a whole relationship that gets developed between all kinds of, whether it's an indoor house cat or a community cat, there's still these bonds and relationships that are developed different ways, a little bit of a different language, especially, and then dogs are a whole different language. So different languages, but yet the same intention, I guess.
Calling all kitten enthusiasts. Get ready for a one-of-a-kind, two-day virtual experience dedicated entirely to kittens. Introducing the 2024 Online Kitten Conference, taking place on June 8th and 9th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and presented by the Community Cats Podcast and the National Kitten Coalition. Prepare to be whisked away into a world of adorable antics and invaluable insight as leading experts gather to celebrate and educate on all things kitten. From newborn care to playful behavior, this conference is a treasure trove of knowledge for anyone committed to improving the lives of these fluffy bundles of joy. Whether you're a seasoned kitten rescuer or new to animal welfare and eager to learn the ropes, the Online Kitten Conference offers a perfect blend of practical advice and in-depth details about the new and the now in kitten care. From empowering fosters to preventing upper respiratory disease, from kitten socialization and behavioral well-being to what we know about kitten mortality and how we can help each other deal with loss, the weekend's live sessions, engaging workshops, and intimate discussions are crafted to nurture your passion and enhance your knowledge of these pint-sized purr machines so you can make a difference. Access to our exclusive Facebook group is included with your registration. There you can connect with fellow kitten lovers from across the globe, share your experiences, and discover innovative approaches to kitten care and advocacy. Also included is access to recordings of all sessions. You can review anything you miss, or if you found something particularly interested, check it out again. And you'll also be able to participate in Fun Cat trivia and prizes. Some lucky attendee will even win a cage from CDE Cages. With the convenience of an online platform, you can join in the fun from the comfort of your own couch, surrounded by your own furry friends, and probably your kitten fosters. Visit communitycatspodcast.com/kittencon now to reserve your spot in the 2024 Online Kitten Conference. Once again, that website for details and registration is communitycatspodcast.com/kittencon. Let's come together, celebrate the smallest felines, and pave the way for a bright future for these precious creatures. Don't miss out. Register today.
Want an easy grant opportunity for your animal organization? Maddie's Fund is giving away a $3,000 grant each month to one lucky Maddie's Pet Forum member. You'll automatically be entered to win each month when you start a new discussion, reply to a new post, or upload a new library resource. Learn more at forum.maddiesfund.org today. Are you a proud cat parent looking for the perfect, affordable health care for your kitty? Well, look no further than the Community Cat Clinic, conveniently located in Woodstock, Georgia, just north of Atlanta, and not too far from the Tennessee and South Carolina borders. The health and happiness of all cats are the top priorities at this feline-only hospital. From preventative care, spay, neuter, and vaccines, to specialized and innovative treatments like full mouth dental, ultrasound, radio, iodine therapy, emergency blockage cases, they've got your cat's well-being covered. For the TNR community and local shelters, they offer easy-to-access, low-cost spay-neuter services and volume appointments. So if you want to do a large TNR project, this is the clinic you want to go to. It's worth the extra trip. Appointments are available most days. Check out the Community Cat Clinic online at communitycatclinic.com or visit them in person at the Walmart Shopping Center at the Shops of Trichem on Highway 92 at Trichem Road in Woodstock, Georgia. More purr, less price. Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com.
Right. Right. That trust that is built, you know, part of that bond. It's just amazing. I mean, it truly is. And I know I've said to people before, you know, my dog is just the best dog in the world. And then you realize, no, every dog is the best dog in the world. And every cat owner that says, oh my gosh, my cat's just the best cat in the world. Of course it is. Of course it is. And I love that. I love to hear people talk about, you know, the love that they have for their pet and how much joy their pets and how they enrich their lives, period, in many, many ways. I so enjoy hearing those stories. It just fills your heart right up.
So tell me a little bit more in detail about Paw Prints on the Couch. What is this book about?
Well, by golly, that's a perfect segue. It is a bunch of different stories from different people coming together and sharing their stories of their pets and how they enrich their lives. So there's cats and dogs and one horse story in there. And my dog Dexter, actually, he does part of the introduction. He's written, because he's my office manager, by the way. He keeps me on track on when I should eat and when I should go out for a walk and all of that. So he's my office manager. But it's a Paw Prints on the Couch. It's a beautiful book. It's got, and they're short reads. They're about 1,500 word stories each. So what, 5 to 7 minute reads, perfect for carrying in your tote bag or in your purse or in your car, wherever. And you've got a few minutes that you know you have to sit somewhere waiting on something. But the stories in there, you are going to want to have some Kleenex. You are going to have some Kleenex because unfortunately, pets' lives don't last as long as human lives. And so you do have to have that heart-wrenching goodbye. But I think that the main theme is, yes, we know as pet owners, your heart's going to break, but you can't focus on that last day or those last few minutes. You have to focus on all those years prior because it was nothing but love. Oh my goodness. You know, and I have to tell myself, I have to remind myself of that too, when sometimes, you know, I'll have a down day and I'll be thinking about a previous dog or a previous cat and I'll be like, oh man. And I'm like, Kim, what are you doing? Focus on the 12 years that you had that animal in your life, or maybe it was a shorter life than that. That's where all that goodness was packed into, you know? So there's a lot of heartfelt stories in the book and it's a good read, actually. You're going to laugh, you're going to giggle, and you are going to cry. But, you know, I think it's worth reading all these different stories. And that also gives you a glimpse into different animals' lives and different situations that animals have been in, or illnesses and how their humans are taking care of them. I think it's educational as well.
Yeah. And I know this is, the writing is for a book that you did, but many of our listeners are running nonprofit organizations. And so they're writing stories about the cats in their care and trying to share with their donors and followers what they have going on in term, you know, this is the story, we need help, we have vet bills, or, you know, and I'm not doing it justice. The story needs to be told in a way to get emotion out.
Right.
And many of us are not writers, but yet we have to do what we have to do in order to help the cats that we're taking care of. You were, you know, your skill was identified by somebody else and that person just said, Kim, you are a writer. And so try it. Don't think you can't do it if you haven't tried it. And with practice, you know, you get better and better at things and learn from them. And so, you know, how as a writer do you pull out the stories in such a way so that somebody does feel emotion?
The main way that I do it is I have to let myself sink into it. And I don't know if everybody can do that. I mean, I know this is a personality quirk of mine. I have to sink completely into the feeling of it. So if it's sad and it's making me bawl, I have to sit there and start writing while, you know, I have tears running down my face and Kleenex wiping the snot off my face. You know? But I try and use all my senses. So, you know, when I'm remembering the story or writing the story and I'm putting myself into, because I write nonfiction. So everything I write, you know, is stuff that's actually happened. So I put myself back in that situation, which can be very hard to do sometimes emotionally. But you have to let yourself feel that emotion. So I try and use all my senses. Like, what did I hear? What did I see? What did I smell? What could I touch? What did it feel like? You know, was there a taste in the air? So I try and use that. That's my main thing that I do. I have to completely immerse myself in that memory. And I don't know if everybody can do that, honestly. I don't know. For me, that's just instinctively, that's how my writing started. And it's just, you know, that was in 2004. So I've been doing it for a while. I do help others, you know, with their stories. And that's why I love doing these anthologies, because these people, a lot of them have never written before. And we're bringing them together. And that's given them that opportunity to be a published author, a published co-author in a book. Now, Paw Prints on the Couch, and I neglected to mention, a portion of the proceeds, hopefully by the end of December, every quarter is going to go to a local shelter in my area. So that's why I'm excited, you know, that it was number one for a while and stuff, because it was getting out there. I'm like, okay, more money for the shelter, more money for the shelter. So these are labors of love that I do. They are labors of love, but I love doing that. That's why I like to coordinate anthologies. So if anybody's interested actually in that, shoot me, you can contact me or connect with me through my website, which is kimlanglingauthor.com. And I think scroll down to the bottom, you're going to find Dexter, my office manager. You click there And he reviews and screens all those emails and gets them through to me to let me know what's going on. But you can connect with me through there, because I always have 1 to 2 anthologies that I'm working on per year. And I'm just now trying to think about what I want to do in 20 or this year. I've got one in the works already, but I'm trying, hopefully, to have another one by the end of this year. So like to keep busy.
Excellent. Wonderful. I need a bookkeeper. Does Dexter do your bookkeeping?
I need one too. And Dexter doesn't like math.
If only our cats and dogs could do the work that they were meant to do.
I know. Well, Dexter regularly tells me I don't have thumbs. Leave me alone.
Oh my. So, Kim, you've written several books, as you have talked about here. You talked about the local shelters. Based on your experience going in and visiting the local shelters, are they very different from one another, or are they all kind of the same? Are there rescues and physical shelters, or are they different?
There's one that's closest to me. It's pretty small. And I've gotten my animals from there because they are a kill shelter. And that's why I go there, because I want to save one.
Yeah.
There's numerous other ones, probably about within half hour, 45 minutes of me. There are no kill shelters. They are much, much larger, very well run, do an awful lot of like large rescues from like hoarding situations and things like that of all kinds of animals. And I do know that they foster a lot of their animals out for safekeeping, you know, after they've been through the vet and gotten all the treatments and things that they may need, because some of them are coming from pretty dire situations. They're not all alike. No, I think everyone, and you know, there's not a whole lot near me. I think there's maybe, and near me, I'm talking about within an hour drive from where I live. I think there's 4, and I know 3 of them are rather large, and they're always hitting capacity. So they're, you know, fostering out a lot, and they do tremendous work. And it's 24/7 for these folks. Okay. Well, you know that.
Yeah. And you're in the western part of Pennsylvania, correct? You're sort of in...
Yes, the northwest corner of Pennsylvania. Yeah. Between Erie and Pittsburgh.
Got you. Just so people have a perspective on where you're located and what you're seeing from that standpoint. I know you mentioned it before, but for our listeners, if you wouldn't mind just sharing, if people are interested in your books or finding out more about the work that you're doing, how would they do that?
They can contact me right through my website at kimlanglingauthor.com. That's the easiest way, actually. Yeah, that's the easiest way. kimlanglingauthor.com. That's where you can find my books. There's links on there that take you right to Amazon. You can also get signed copies if you want. There's a separate link for that. But everything I'm doing, what's going on, what's coming up, can be found right on my website, little one-stop shop.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, I appreciate being on. So thank you for having me as your guest. I absolutely love what you're doing and what you have done over the decades, because I know what it takes mentally and physically and from your heart to do that, simply from what I've been doing for the last 20 plus years. I know what it takes to do that, to put your whole heart into something, and how you can feel tired sometimes and still keep going. So thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you, Kim. It's been a joy. We've had an interview last week and an interview this week, and I feel like I've gotten to be kind of chummy with you. So this is great.
Yeah, we're new friends. Yay.
new virtual friends. So it's all good. So thank you, Kim, for joining me today and agreeing to be a guest on my show. And I hope we'll have you on again in the future. Maybe the next book.
I'd love to come back. Would love to come back.
All about cats. So thank you. And folks, if you're listening, please consider sharing this podcast with others. And we'll see you next week.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.